Nice to have Satch Sanders with us on Sports Byline. Now a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. He came out of New York University, first-round pick by the Boston Celtics, spent his entire 13-year career in professional basketball with Boston, and came away with 8 championship rings. He also was a great defensive player, and his number 16 jersey was retired by the Boston Celtics. And he also coached the team for a period of time back in the 78 season. You know, Satch, one of the things that I know when I talk to an athlete that's being inducted into any Hall of Fame is it has a different meaning for different players. How about for you?
Well, it's first thing, it's always a good thing to be recognized, even if it's something that has occurred, 40, 45 years ago or whatever. So, you know, that's always a nice feeling. Hall of Fames are interesting. I used to work at the Naismith Hall of Fame, work in terms of being on the Board of Trustees. So I've had a good feeling and a good relationship with the Hall for quite a few years. So for me, it was a comfort zone, and knowing the people there was helpful and make it a little comfortable in terms of coming, let's call it home is a better term.
Having said that, what is the feel of the Hall of Fame to you, since you have a pretty close touch with it?
Well, it's changed. There was a time, of course, when it was basically geared to coaches, and over the years, it's moved a little more to a lot more to players, male and female, as well as a overseas bent. So it's covering all of the bases now where basketball is concerned, and it's a grand place to visit and a place certainly I like.
I mentioned about the 8 NBA championships. Starting in 1961, you won 6 in a row. Then there was the off year of 1967, and then you came back with the Boston Celtics. The team came back and won in 68 and 69. Describe for me professional basketball during that era.
Well, it was for us. It was quite a time. You know, one of the things the game was slowly but surely evolving. There were more college coaches getting involved. They were coming in with assistants and beginning to add more. Let's call it collegiate coaching tricks to the game, offensively and defensively. And we stayed the same. In terms of personnel, our basic personnel stayed the same. But not only that, our approach to the game stayed the same. Auerbach made it simple. The plays never changed. And there were options, of course. And we just went forward. And the biggest concern for us, basketball-wise at that time, was if we play our best game, we're going to win most of our games. And we have a possibility of going undefeated. Well, that was a dream, certainly, of a few players who felt that we were good enough. Russell, of course, always felt if he were playing, we'd have a chance to go undefeated. That was the kind of attitude he had. But the game was, we were a fast-breaking team, and other teams were not as into the fast-break part of the game. So we were, let's say, miles ahead at that particular time. There were a lot of teams that were geared to offense without the balance on defense, which gave us an edge throughout the time when the Celtics were dominant.
What was the racial makeup of the league at that time? What percentage was African American and what percentage was white?
I'd venture to say that, I guess you'd say there were a couple of blacks on every team from, from 1964, 1963 on up. It was gradually and very slowly beginning to change.
Did you note that changed the way the game was played with the addition of African Americans to the game?
Well, there were a stylized approach. For example, Russell, when he came in the game, being a superb shot blocker, retired about 3 or 4 centers in the league. Where the approach had been, the center gets on the block, he gets the ball, and he swings for a slow looping hook shot. Well, Russell was grabbing those shots out of the air. And so that retired about 3 or 4 centers within 2 years of his involvement in pro basketball. his approach to the center position was a matter of high post, low, wherever a center was called upon to play, as well as calling the defense. And he didn't have to be 6'10 and 260 pounds staying in one spot. So that alone changed it up. And, of course, there were the changes rule-wise of three-point plays that came in a little later on, and certainly the 24-second rule that came in even earlier.
Well, Will Chamberlain, how much did he change the game with his size and the way he played the front court?
Well, you know, Will Chamberlain certainly was a superb athlete, to put it mildly. A lot of people were not aware of just how great an athlete he was. He could certainly run with anyone on the court if he chose to get up and down the court. With anyone in the league, for that matter, he could keep up with or pass. His ability to jump, of course, being 7'2 and 270 pounds, he was able to, one of the two players that I know legitimately could touch the top of the backboard, he and this young man, Artis Gilmore. Wilt was special, and certainly expected to be an outstanding offensive machine. That's what Philadelphia particularly wanted him to be, and he filled the bill admirably.
Well, Bill Russell said to me one time, he said that when I knew I had to play up against Wilt, he said, I knew I didn't have the size to match up against him, so I had to do it more with the angles and mentally. Those battles between those two guys, as a player on the court with them watching that, what did you come away with? What is it that you still remember about the battle between Chamberlain and Russell?
Well, the one thing that was always clear, that Wilt was certainly an overpowering figure. And not only that, Wilt did a little bit of lifting. At that time in the league, coaches and GMs and people did not encourage people to lift weights. Well, Wilt was strong anyway, and then he had the nerve to lift some weights. So this put him head and shoulders way ahead of any of the players in the league in terms of strength. His skill level of being able to shoot certainly the fadeaway jump shot on off the backboard was certainly really special to watch when you watch a guy 7'2" fading away shooting off the glass. But when he called upon to go to the basket, he had no problem with his fingertip controls and other kinds of baskets. Needless to say, the dunk was a high percentage shot for him. Wilt was just a superb machine. And obviously he could play other parts of the game, and he proved it in 67 when he rebounded offensively and defensively, blocked shots, did everything, had a high assist, and I think averaged 20-something a game, proving that he could touch all facets of the game. But he, Philadelphia, of course, felt that his strength was in scoring, and that's what they wanted him to concentrate on. Had he not played as much scoring in the 30-40 a game or 50 a game, if he had played more of a balanced game, I don't know whether we would have been able to win all those championships. We would have been able to win more than our share, but we would certainly have shared those finals and those games with Philadelphia.
Was that the main rivalry with the Boston Celtics, particularly in the East, or did the New York Knicks fit into that rivalry scheme?
Well, the Knickerbockers did not really come on the scene in terms of creating serious opposition until about, I think, late 60s. Late 60s. I think 69, 70, when they really started to make their move with the Willis Reed, the Frazier, the Busher, Bradley group, and Earl Monroe, of course. They were a power that was waiting, and once they got it all together, they were ready to roll. Interestingly enough, I thought that they would win, or could win, certainly more than the two championships they did win, because they had great balance. And, of course, it would have helped if Willis Reed had been completely healthy all the way through, but they were a superb team.
We only have a minute before we have to break, Satch, but how would you characterize, then, that rivalry between the 76ers and the Boston Celtics during those years?
Well, a lot of people like to use the term classic, and I guess that applies. Watching Wilt and Russell go at each other was really special. If you look at the numbers, of course, Wilt probably outscored Russell by 15 points a game, easily 15, maybe 20 points a game on average. But what occurred was that Russell was able to contain Wilt for an important period in the game every time, usually about the beginning of the third quarter or the end of the third quarter. Russ was able to really work himself to death and contain Wilt. And I'm talking about containing because he might hold Wilt to 6 or 8 points for that quarter. Now, of course, with the kind of energy that was expended, that fourth quarter, usually Russell was was a very tired individual, and Wilt just went on and made the game extraordinarily close. But Russ and Wilt, they were really fun battles to watch.
A wonderful conversation with Satch Sanders, now a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.